You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
It's a pleasure to welcome our first musical guest, Mr. Peter Lewis, a.k.a. Shark Week. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. Thank you.
It feels like a very particular time capsule, me sitting on this side of the desk and you sitting on that side of the desk. But great to have you here. Congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
Is it your first? Am I right in thinking it's your first album since 2010?
Yes. Yes, I've been involved in a collaborative project called Raising a Child, which has taken up a large part of my time.
I have some understanding of this. that's right, but by God, that's a long time.
That is a long time, yes, indeed. You know, felt the need to make some more music, so, you know, it was time to focus and put out something new.
Whenever I see the word Shark Week, it evokes mixed feelings for me, mostly because it reminds me of the sad decline of natural history filmmaking and the soundtracking of natural history films.
Yes, yes.
Were you to have that as an option to pursue, what kind of natural history films would you want to write the scores for, do you think?
Oh, wow. Something involving quirky animals, maybe? Something like dugongs or something like that, maybe?
Oh, underwater.
Yeah.
Underwater oddities.
Underwater oddities, definitely. Probably not so shark-focused. But
no, and they're more heavy guitar riffs, usually.
Yeah, that's right. Bit of speed, whereas dugongs are much more laconic.
Meditative.
Meditative, yeah, that's right.
For those who don't know your work, you also have a visual arts practice as a collage artist.
Yes, that's true.
Do you, in a way, you could see your musical practice as a form of collage in the way that it stitches together,
sure.
You know, analog and digital and sampling and things. Can you talk a bit about how your approaches differ when you're making art and when you're making music?
Sure. I guess for my art, I'm a big fan of symmetry. I like all the, you know, like things kind of laid out in a symmetrical way. Maybe not so much with music, although I guess, you know, obviously, well, not obviously, not inevitably, but often things come in fours, so there's a nice symmetry about that.
Or are they entirely different?
I mean, they are different in a lot of ways. You know, I guess I draw from a wider range of sources with the collage than with music, but I guess it's all a way of bringing together different influences and different bits and pieces, collecting things like a magpie, and, you know, laying them all out together. It's definitely wearing my influences on my sleeve in both ways, both art forms.
Your use of field recordings on this album feels quite personal.
Absolutely, yeah. It's definitely a way of, you know, adding something personal and organic to, you know, electronic music can be quite sterile and impersonal.
Are they intentional, or have you just become one of those punishing people who, to be around socially, who all of a sudden is going off and recording a thing that they've found?
I have been like that. I have been one of those people. I had to chase someone's child away once when I was like, piss off, you're ruining the tape, you know?
It's like that great scene in 24 Hour Party People where Martin Hannett is just out recording the silence, and then Tony Wilson appears and starts yelling at him, and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I was recording the silence.
I was recording the
silence.
Now
I'm recording Tony Wilson."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that kind of thing, for sure. But no, there are very, very personal stuff in there. One of the songs is about my stepfather, or dedicated to my stepfather, who passed away a couple of years ago. So as well as some music about him, I kind of wanted some things that most people won't recognise in the song, of course, but things that remind me of him, you know, some field recordings of the birds and the bees at his house, the sound of a lawnmower. He was always mowing the lawn when I was there, whether it was needed or not. He was just one of those men that's like, it's Saturday, we'll be mowing the lawn.
Sure.
And the sound of the waves breaking on the beach near where he's buried. So it was really important to kind of bring all that stuff in, make it something really unique and personal, and it adds, for me, I feel like it adds to the emotion of the track in general.
Is that new for your practice?
Not entirely, but something, choosing things that are more meaningful rather than just, you know, a bit of background kind of stuff definitely is new to me, yes.
Now, those of us from the Gen X / elder millennial demographics have inherited a form of nihilism and cynicism and irony, and postmodernism has given us kitsch and collage and those sorts of things. I'm trying as I get older to be a bit more generous and a bit less pretentious, which is a really long-winded way of asking the question, why is there a Sting cover on the new Shark Week album?
Well, I've always liked that song. I've always liked the Walking on the Moon, and I guess it's once I decided it was going to be a lunar-themed concept album, I was like,
"That's my chance."
There's my chance. That's right. It fits in there quite well. You know, I knew someone that I knew could do justice to the vocals and the guitar. And it was just something I wanted to try. I heard an inspiring dub version of it a few years ago, and thought, "Yeah, I'd like to give that a try." So there.
Can you talk a bit about on the more ambient end, the Aquafile trilogy, which rounds out Lunar Tunes, the kind of genesis and the intent of that as a narrative?
Gotcha. I'm trying to think where that came from now. I was inspired by Module from Wellington. He did this track called Dreams for the Sleepless, a good 15 years ago. It's about an hour and a half long. This one kind of one take long, incredible ambient piece that he did, somewhat inspired by Vangelis. I think it's very very epic and beautiful. The legend has it was recorded during a thunderstorm, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. Or just it's part of the liner notes. You know, every good project needs a legend. I just felt I wanted to take on trying something bigger and longer. You know, all of my tunes are kind of journey like anyway. So I thought, well, let's just extend the journey and see where it goes.
But over an intentional three-act structure, as opposed to it being a one grand piece.
Well, it was in it. This is one of the tracks that's probably evolved most over the last 10 or 15 years. It's probably 9 or 10 years old. It started as one long piece, but I cut it up into three for this. But it kind of intuitive places in the music. You know, the ebbs. So it works quite well as a three-part thing.
And I know you've already declared your justifications for taking so long and getting this record out, but it felt like in the late 2000s, you and Rua Morris doing his Hazari stuff and Nick Smith doing his Sonic Smith stuff, there was like a real community of one-man live electronic producer bands.
There was, yeah, that's true.
How important was that for you, or is that for you, in terms of, it can be a lonely world, you know, beavering away in your
bedroom. It definitely can, and it's I'm still in touch with those guys. Rua's still creating lots of music, so, you know, trailblazing, really. He's going from strength to strength. So yeah, it was definitely important to be, you know, to be part of that community, to have people to bounce ideas off, people to collaborate with. You know, we all remixed each other's tracks and made entire albums out of those. So definitely a crucial thing.
And now that you've re-emerged, where are you finding community?
It's not as easy this time, you know. Turns out middle-aged dudes have other things going on that they don't have spare time, except in that little, you know, 7 to 8 p.m. on a Tuesday evening kind of thing. So it's a little harder to tap into a community, but that's because I've been lazy and been hermiting and not out there meeting people and being actively involved. So
I feel like you could argue you've been getting your priorities right.
Well, that's right. That's right.
In case Liz is listening.
Yeah, exactly. Not going out after 8 p.m. because, you know, I'm tired.
So what can you tell us about the show 2 weeks hence, roughly, on the 22nd?
Yeah, that's right. So first show for the year. First and only show for the year. A mix of old and new. A couple of things I've never played live before. Part of the Aquafile I'll be playing. I technically have played that live before at 3 o'clock in the morning at a solstice party, I think.
I'm sure everyone out there remembers that fondly.
I barely remember it myself. Except it all went a bit, it all turned a bit to custard. It was the first time I played it. The next DJ didn't show up, so I had to kind of ad-lib and just keep it running for an extra 15 minutes until someone was like, this is not good enough. You need to add some variation to this. And I'm like, well, would you like to come up and play? It's 3 o'clock in the morning and there's no one judging you, so, you know.
And tell us about Texture Time.
Texture Time is Peter Clayperson and his collection of orchestral friends who all join in and do this amazing live music, jazz through a desk, huge amount of echoes and delays and crazy stuff going on. He sort of stands there in the middle like a mad scientist while it all swirls around him. It's an amazing thing to see and a lot of people to cram onto the stage. People playing guitars vertically because there's not room to hold them out.
That sounds like a lot going on in a small space.
Yes, it is.
Lunar Tunes, the new album from Shark Week, gets out on Thursday on Bandcamp, you can find it. Saturday the 22nd of November at Inch Bar with Texture Time. Great to have you in the studio, Peter.
Thank you so much,
Thanks for coming. I'm going to play Unearthly Creatures, which is, you know, in old parlance, we'd say side A, track one of the album. What can you tell us about this by way of introduction?
My favourite track on the album, hence I put it first. Something I wrote a couple of years ago and really gave me that kick to feel like I could still pull it off. You know, let's say it's like riding a bike, but you need to actually ride a bike before you know that you can do it again. Yeah, great track. Really, really proud of it.
Nice one. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Last October in the quiet Mississippi town of Pascagoula. Two local men confronted authorities with a rather bizarre story. Charles' nervous breakdown and Calvin lie detectors of a strange craft.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.